All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's stream, where, as promised, because I'm doing Monday to Thursday streaming now, and we're going to stick to that schedule as much as we possibly can, events notwithstanding, across 2026. Sorry, there's some fluff. I just washed this. Some lint on it. There we go. Good. It's off now. Today is going to be the stream all about the HLTV Awards, which everyone has been talking about because it got turned into a pretty outrageous spectacle that has driven everybody half insane, because we can't have nice things at all in the world of Counter-Strike esports, evidently. So, yes, this is going out on X, this is going out on YouTube, this is going out on Twitch. I can see you all on the different platforms. I have also added, for those that don't want to have to come to Twitch to use their sub, I have also now added likes, super likes, whatever the fuck they're called on YouTube. That's enabled. So if you'd rather donate or subscribe over there, you can do that. No need to use Twitch anymore. You have been pardoned. Although always, do appreciate the Twitch Primes. And of course, a shout out to the sponsor of the stream before we get into the meat of it all. We can go there. It's nordvpn.com/RLS. Everybody needs a VPN these days. You absolutely have to have one. The UK government's thinking about potentially outlawing them. All the more reason to get one now and to not let the British government get into whatever bullshit they're going to get into. So if you go to nordvpn.com and use the referral code RLS, what you will get is a significant discount off the product that I myself use to keep myself safe on the internet. And that will be less than the price of a Twitch sub for every month for 2 years. So definitely do that. Right, okay. Let's set the table. HLTV Awards. Right, holy shit, hang on. Let's just hold up. Love from Japan. I've got a Japanese fan. This is fucking awesome. Well, sick. I love Japan. I'm going back there as soon as I can fit it into my calendar. Enough's enough of not being in Japan. I love it out there. I hope you're having a great time. All right, okay. So, let's set the table. Obviously, the HLTV Awards happen at the end of every year, and what it has grown into is something quite spectacular, I would say, considering it used to just be a community website that did community website awards. What it has grown now into is a proper award show with a ceremony and people in attendance. I was meant to be going there this year, but with all of the delays to transport because of adverse weather in Birmingham, plus I caught that seasonal cold that was going around, I just thought, fuck it, I ain't gonna do it. So I didn't, you know, that's that. And I'm sad I didn't go, but I'll probably be at the next one. And again, thanks to Stryker and Prof and everyone else over there for inviting me. But anyway, having watched it grow into something really special, it is kind of fascinating to see people that seem to be determined, dedicated to trying to fucking spoil it. And it's the payoff, I guess. The more attention an awards show gets and awards get, the more idiots will flock to it and the more idiots will go out of their way to ruin it. Let's be clear. I think if you're getting upset about awards and lists and rankings and that type of thing, you've got way too much free fucking time. But I would also add as well, like, you have to understand, as with any awards, it is subjective. They no matter how much HLTV wants to be objective, they cannot be objective. You can go, oh, but they use objective metrics. They select those objective metrics. They choose which ones to use, which ones not to use. So it's always going to be subjective. You know, we've all got our own ideas about, you know, who the best player in the world is. We've all got our own idea about who the best member of the broadcast talent pool is, who the best commentators are. That's just how that works. And so I'm going to give my own opinions, but I do stress that I'm not mad. You know, I'm not like angry about things that didn't go the way I predicted they might. And I would advise you not to be either. It's like just a bit of, I mean, yeah, okay, it's more than a bit of fun, because I would argue these accolades matter. But, you know, look at it philosophically. Let's compare it to the Oscars, right? In 1994, I believe Forrest Gump got Best Picture. You know, and everybody knows that picture's a piece of shit. It's just about an American retard blundering through history. And, you know, it's an American fable. It's an American fairy tale about American exceptionalism, isn't it? It's trash. It came out the same year as Pulp Fiction, an infinitely better film that had a much more profound impact on cinema. But you know what? Pulp Fiction doesn't need an Oscar, does it, to be the amazing film that resonates throughout history, that's infinitely quotable, spawned 1,000 memes. You know, just didn't need it. It just doesn't need it. Shawshank Redemption doesn't need it to be that feel-good movie that everybody wants to watch. So that's all I'm saying. You might not get the awards at the time, but in history's, through history's lens, everyone will remember what you did and why it was important and why it was good. And that's how you have to look at these things, particularly because look, HLTV are de facto the definitive people making these decisions. But realistically, it's no more important than any website or any group of people or any panel coming together. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just HLTV right now has no rivals, essentially. And so, yeah, it's the go-to one. People do want to win it, I'm sure. But there you go. Now, one of the things they decided they were going to do is they were going to really ramp up the interest around the top 20. Top 20 has always been kind of eked out, but now it's become this like spectacle where every day for however many days, cross December, you get the ranking. And everyone's like, oh shit, it's 5 o'clock. Who's next? Who's next? The problem is with CS fans, as I wrote about in my Gonzo Awards, my own alternative awards for this year, they are absolutely fucking trash. The community's trash. It can't have a nice thing without turning it into a debacle. Which, by the way, to answer your question, Capsize in the chat, no, there shouldn't be a Journalist of the Year category in the HLTV Awards. I just think, look, there's barely any of us left anyway. Who cares? Just let us, you know, the work has to be its own reward at this point. But I appreciate the donation and the question. Anyway. So what we ended up with was every day a top 20 being released and people becoming progressively more angry at the top 20 if their player was either too low or looked like they weren't going to be included or maybe weren't going to be high enough at all. And you can see this kind of started, and this I want to show you a contrast. Nico was in at 18. In the oh wait, it hasn't brought the window up. Let's go to here. Yes, there it is. Nico was 18 out of 20, and a lot of people saw this as like, wow, bro is so washed, etc. It's actually an incredible achievement because I think it's his 10th appearance on the top 20 in a row, which is insane consistency from anyone's career. To do that for 10 years is wild. Like, for real. Nico is always going to be one of those greats. I just fear he is going to be one of those greats we talk about in the same way we talk about Guardian. You know, close but no cigar. Really, really good, but never quite won the big ones. That's just how that goes sometimes. Yeah, and nothing wrong with it. It has to happen in all sports. Not everybody gets what they, air quotes, deserve. Nico has been, for me, this year, pretty poor, given his high ceiling for talent, and he's definitely gone missing in big games. 2025 is the first year I think the Choco memes can actually be used seriously. And ultimately, I get it. He's like transitioning as a player now because he's getting older. He's on a team where he doesn't need to take as much space, you know, alongside Kyosuke and Munisi. But ultimately, I think his future is in IGLing, and I think we're going to get there sooner rather than later. Good to see Maui Snake in the chat as well. We're going to be talking about you, my old chum, in just a little bit. But anyway, so Nico being 18, I think that's good, actually. I think that's a good thing for him. And we went through here, and everyone was like, yeah, you know what? 18 is fine. People were being philosophical. Bro fell off. I mean, this is his 10th consecutive top 20 placement, but that's insane longevity. Like, so, you know, this is actually good, actually. Sorry, Enemy in the chat, appreciate the donation. Will I be at DreamHack Birmingham or CDL Major 2? I mean, obviously, I live in Birmingham. I've got no excuse not to go. The problem is I'm sort of blacklisted from any ESL Face It group event. I imagine even as an attendee now, they are very upset with the coverage that I've been doing about them for a while, so I probably wouldn't be allowed to attend. CDL, depending on who's running that, I could be there. So, yeah, definitely give me a shout. But anyway, most of this is pretty, you know, look, hey, congrats, this is good. This is well done, you know. So some people are saying he's too low, right? But not a lot of anger in this thread. There's an oof here and, you know, people were saying, well, Kiyosuke better not get in, and he didn't, you know. It's all good, right? But here was the problem. This is where it started to get a little bit contentious. Because next up was number 17. And number 17 was Torji. Now, I don't know overall whether I would have put Torji above Nico. I didn't really think about it a lot. I didn't make a top 20. There's not really a lot of point in me making a top 20 because I'm not an analyst. People say I don't know the game anyway because, you know, I refuse to subscribe to provable fantasies, statistical fantasies. And, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But Torji was at 17. And maybe that is high. There's some people asking, should Torji be on there at all? And you can see the top comment. I'm really confused. Who isn't on here? If Bit and Imma are on here, surely Wonderful has to be somewhere. It turned out Wonderful wasn't. And then Sphinx too. I actually don't know how the next few days will go at all. I'll also add, I did say Imma should be in the top 20. He was. A few people disagreed with me on that one. I think that's entirely fair and rational. In fact, if I had to pick one of the two of Bit and Imma, I think Imma has probably been a bit more impactful over the entirety of the year, but whatever. People then start talking about other mouse players and who's going to be on there. And, you know, remember, it's over the whole year, so recency bias is kind of tough. You can see I'm confused. Someone out of the list below will be out of the top 20. Siwu, Rops, Flames, Mezzi, Donk, Shiro, Munasi, Keisarata, Molodoy, Yukindar, Surgeon, Sphinx, Frozen, Twist, Senzu, Xantares, and Heavy God. And you can see, I think Yukindar, right? It'll be Yukindar. Has to be Xertion, no. Xertion or Yukindar. Yukindar. All wrong, right? Obviously, Heavy God didn't make it, which I know Maui Snake was very upset about. And perhaps rightfully so. And yeah, look, I thought Torji would be slightly higher. He had an underrated year. Torji over Nico is hilarious. 1.04 rating in Cologne Katowice in the majors, not even top 30. 1.02 rating in playoffs over the year with huge sample size. Why is he here? And it's like, did you read the article? They explain their rationale. So people started getting pissed off, right? But it's still early days and people don't really care that much about what's outside of the top 10. It's just, you know, doesn't really get people's fucking dander up. It didn't get crazy until this one. Keisarata was in at number 9. And I knew the general consensus was going to be that ultimately, no matter where Keisarata finished, it wasn't going to be high enough for certain fans. I knew this because I'd watched Launders do his video, and I think he put Keisarata 12th. And people in the comments were like, Launders, you need meds, 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 meds. Lots of meds, a strong uptake for psychiatric medication because he put Keisarata 12th. And so you can see here, Frozen and Molodoy are top 8. Interesting. Molodoy's a bit high. He missed a lot of the season. Wonderful will go in Molodoy's place. Mark my words. That's someone with a Furia logo. No way Molodoy is above Kayser Arter. What the fuck? Seems a bit weird, too. Does Molodoy have more MVPs and or EVPs? Yes. Truly, this is what I loved. Truly a rage bait list this year. I want to talk about a bigger phenomenon here. We'll go to Big Head before we go back to Kayser Arter. Again, so you can just appreciate my luscious curls that I've always had. And certainly just stopped growing because I think people would be jealous of my luscious curls. Now, the rage bait word that has entered into this discourse is fucking AIDS. It's AIDS because it implies that anyone with a different opinion to you only holds that opinion because they want to make you angry. Rage bait exists. Journalists do it all the time, particularly in games journalism. They take a game that's good and then they find a reason to say something bad about it because that's the only way they can get clicks anymore. See Eurogamer, who did the worst piece of gaming journalism I saw in 2025, which was they said Ark Raiders was a bad game, a 2 out of 5 game, probably the game of the year, certainly the multiplayer game of the year. Ark Raiders was bad because they used AI for the voices. For some voices. Instead of voice actors. I think that voice filter that you use if you want to catfish people into thinking you're a girl, which we all want, we all do, of course. Yeah. And so they gave it 2 out of 5. It's rage bait. Everyone raged about it. Everyone clicked on the article. And they got their clicks and they rage baited you again. Cassad may or may not engage in the dark arts of rage bait. You've seen his tweets. You decide. But me creating a carefully curated list that has 28 separate metrics per player, as well as, in most of them, a 3,000-word summary of their year and justification for their placement. You can't call that rage bait if you disagree. They're not baiting you. They're not rage baiting you. It's not a cheap throwaway opinion designed to upset you. It's their genuine belief. And it's their genuine belief that is explained and articulated. You can't be mad at that. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to call it rage bait. Of course, Reddit, they said it was rage bait. See this? I was going to say it's not unusual for there to be some debate about a few rankings. This year feels like it's been curveballs only. Surgeon above Nico, Bitten Imma making the list. Wonderful doesn't get it. It just screams rage bait. This is a bit much. Truly a rage bait list. Only if you're a low IQ rat that cares too much about the subjective end of year ranking. Fair. And guys, it's a subjective list based on two guys' favourites. It's not that serious. I'm a FaZe and Frozen fan, but I don't get why he is higher than Kayser Arter. Now, see, I don't understand the argument. Would there be an argument that Frozen would be below Kayser Arter? I don't know about that. Doesn't feel like it. Molodoy above Kayser Arter, laughing my fucking ass off. Oh, yeah, I haven't gone back to this. I'm still in Big Head. Wonder how HLTV can justify Frozen above him. At this point, it's not even worth arguing. This list is fan-made. It's a fan list, guys. It's not some of the most authoritative people in the scene voting on it. It's a fan list. Recency bias mixed with FaZe bullshit is the only reason Frozen gets above Kayser Arter, apparently. The Molodoy glaze is actually ridiculous. Kayser Arter was the best Furia player this year without a question. There's definitely some questions. I know Frozen was a beast, but should he be ahead of Kayser Arter? Frozen above Quesarato is absurd. How is Frozen ahead of him? People just can't process it. There it is. Disgrazia. Disgrazia. Injusticia. Disgrazia. Unbelievable. It's a disgrace. So, this year's list is total rage bait. What a joke. So, people got upset. They got upset. And I think ninth is fine. I don't know. I mean, but, okay. I guess we can all get big mad about it. Let's... Let's go. We'll skip eight. We'll go to seven. Flames. I've said it many times. I thought last year Flames was the most improved player in World Counter-Strike. This year is a pure entry fragger. It's been tough for him, you know, to go and make those kind of plays. And me and Dust have talked about it on stream before. His numbers are, out of all of the people who play entry for top tier teams, his numbers are the lowest. But overall, that's only for entrying. His production, by and large, is really, really good. And I think seventh is fine. But no. What is this ranking? Stats 11% weight, hairline 30%, and aura 26% weight. I'll be killing it right now. This guy set up a petition for HLTV to publish their methodology at the beginning of the year. Why would they need to? I saw people say that a few times, like, oh, they should have the rationale at the start of the year. Why? The only people who care are the dickheads who are guessing and then get upset when their guess is wrong. It just doesn't matter, guys. It's just a list of players. Exactly. If weight was 30% weight and hairline 26, then I'd be fucking rolling, dude. Not to mention, the rationale is always published. It's just published at the start of the list. But they want it at the start of the year. Why? Because they think players are going to read it and go, right, shit. Better play. Being an anchor's gonna hurt me a bit. I might have to fuck around and not listen to. Yeah, like, so what? They can get further up the ranking. I mean, kind of crazy. There you go. Look, Molodoy is top six minimum. These all have to be listed. Molodoy needed seventh. He's now missed. No way Molodoy is this high. Nero doing everything to justify Munacy top three. You got to respect the grind. What the hell is this Molodoy, Glaze? The new Munacy? Molodoy above Flames is crazy work. Molodoy at six is a bit high. Molodoy being top six after two stinker major playoffs is crazy. I'm a Molobot myself, but he isn't above Quesarato and Flames. This list is a true master rage bait. Again, if you're getting mad about it, you're just a fucking loser. Yeah, and Nero obviously has just had to eat a plate of shit every single day that they were publishing this. Just fuck his wretched life. So then, of course, we got to the moment of truth, which is Molodoy in at sixth. So, all right. Now, maybe Molodoy wouldn't have got sixth on my list. He would have got top 10. Uh-oh. Con, you can do it. You can do it, Reddit, my old friend. right? So every other thread has been about Molodoy for some reason. Then in the Molodoy thread, the Reddit consensus is we shouldn't shit on Molodoy. Appreciate that, Sam Nicholson. Thank you for the £10. What a great rookie year from him, and it's probably one of the best ones in terms of HLTV ranking, at least. I think a lot of people have been dogpiling onto this year's list and just focusing on mainly negatives on Reddit. You do surprise me, sir. Myself included. Oh, cool. But I think we should also use this thread to say that this rookie's had a fantastic year, and I hope he continues to shine and get even better in the following years. Imagine telling people that your kinder after this his time on Team Liquid and some Kazakh Tier 3 online AWP would shine on stage to bring Furia their best performances. Great year with some fun twists. That's a great perspective. This forum is filled with negativity. I can't imagine what it's like to be in the shoes of a young rookie who's not only trying to perform, but also must navigate social media and regular media while trying to be mentally and emotionally healthy. I hope this thread won't be used to pour negativity on a young player who's out. No, all the others were, you daft cunt. All the other threads were. .18 versus top 5 and 1.14 rating versus top 10 is bonkers. A huge thing people missed when they were complaining about Caserato. So everybody just did a fucking U-turn on it. Because they were like, yeah, the circle jerks. Bit too mean, he might actually look in this thread. I will also add, I was going to skip this one, but people got upset over Twists being 11 as well, because of course they did. You can see here, HLTV know it's controversial, so they added a billion notable stats, or maybe Twists achieved a billion notable stats. This is wild. Heavy Goat Robbed. Stinker of a first season. Too high. He doesn't deserve to be higher than Mezzi. So there was lots of upset over that one too. But that's not the important one. You see, the important one, and I'll just show you the complete list, because it's worth looking at. So, you can see, right? I mean, everyone who should be on the top 20 list probably is there. Feel a bit sorry for Wonderful. I think that's going to help feed into the fake narrative that he's in some way the biggest problem on Na'Vi, which I don't think he is. But other than that, it's the right players. Heavy God maybe could have crept on there for me. I know Maui had Heavy God on there, which is fair. But, I mean, for me, the one who I actually think is too high is Senzu. I mean, obviously now I am an official Mongols hater. But this is fine. He doesn't even play for Mongols anymore, does he? So, you know, I think Senzu is probably a bit too high at 13. I don't even think, like, if you go and look at his performance in playoffs, I actually think he was a fucking notorious fucking choker. And when I saw the stats brought up when I was working the events and people were doing Senzu in groups versus Senzu in playoffs, I was like, oh yeah, shit. This guy's a total fucking fraud. So Senzu might have been like 19th for me, you know, but whatever. We'll wait and see where the drama goes. But this was the big bone of contention. Everybody wanted to know who was going to get number one. And people agreed it wasn't going to be Munisi, it wasn't going to be Rops, it was between two players. Ziwu, or Ziwu, as everyone else calls him, even though French people have told me it's definitely pronounced Ziwu, so I pronounce him Ziwu, and then people put Chinese pictograms in the chat when I'm talking. But Ziwu, who's had a season replete with trophies, including going perfect in the first half of the year, picking up a major right at the end of the year as well. Obviously, a glittering trophy cabinet. And Donk, on the other hand, I think, set probably the highest bar individually we had seen over the course of the year at tournaments where he had really performed unbelievably highly. And obviously, Spirit, who'd made roster changes in a bid to try and win trophies, got chopped. And didn't win as much in 2025 as they should have done. They've now made roster changes again. Chopper is gone. Zwei, despite his life game to eliminate Falcons, is gone. And Magix is going to be the IGL now. And I fucking hate my life because I'm going to have to listen to that cunt do a million more interviews now. So I'm going to be on the edge. Anyway, all of which is to say this was the big fucking discussion. And I hate to say it, dare I say it, for me this is just wrong. This is not right. And HLTV, the panel, have like done this whole like big thing where they're explaining it, and I'll get into that in a moment. But ultimately, this is kind of crazy. And I know Maui agrees with me. Let's just quickly get his tweet, because it's got the graphic in there. And there it is. I don't know what world being number one at practically everything can mean you're the second best. Robbed. And you can see he had the highest HLTV rating of the year, the highest damage per round of the year, the highest number percentage of rounds with a kill for the year, the highest CT rating for the year, the highest major rating of the year, the highest elite rating of the year, the highest rating of any player versus the top 10 across the year, the highest rating in arena matches for the year, the highest rating in a grand final for the year. He had nearly 50% of his maps where he had above a 1.45 rating. No one did that. He had the highest damage per round in rounds that they won, right? And the highest damage differential per round and the highest teammate save per round, which is probably the least interesting stat on that list. So, he was number two in one on that list. And then if you look at all of the other metrics and all of the other measurements, he had 26 out of 28. Now, HLTV justified Ziwu being number one. And I've got the justification, because man alive, there was a bloodbath on the forums. pull it up in the actual article. The Reddit post skipped half of the reasoning under the photo. I thought this was an okay summary. The gap in Raw rewards is exacerbated by the prestige of the events where Ziwu earned his nods, with three Super Elite MVPs, Katowice, Austin, Budapest, in comparisons to Donk single one from Cologne, and his other three coming at lower tier big events like the Bounty Studios and against a weaker team list at PGL Astana. A good way to contextualize the statistical chasm and explain why Ziwu came out on top in awards so often is that compared to the group stage gap of 1.45 to 1.31 rating, the pair were nigh inseparable in playoffs alone, 1.37 versus 1.34, while the Frenchman got his 1.34 in nearly twice the sample size and more than that in the finals, which is 42 versus 17 maps, while leading Vitality to 9 tournament wins. This race has been compared to 2018, but Simple was significantly closer to Device in awards. It was 6-6 on awards lists from events both attended that year and 2-2 at Super Elites, which allowed the stats to come into play to settle the tie. Ziwu's award volume, meanwhile, is as far from Donk as Donk is from Munisi, so only the Frenchman could claim the Player of the Year title in 2025. Now, I'm a give my opinion. So, first of all, I want to say we don't do MVPs properly in any esport, let alone Counter-Strike. MVP, right, here's the criteria to be the most valuable player in a tournament. You have to play in a final, and 90% of the time you have to win. It doesn't matter what else you've done in the tournament. If those two things aren't true, you cannot be an MVP in Counter-Strike. That's what we say. That's what we believe. I don't know why. It's fucking retarded. It's not what the most valuable player ever means. It doesn't work that way in any other sport. Quite often, for instance, you'll see an NFL MVP might not even, you know, they might not even play in the Super Bowl. You know? The MVP is the most valuable player commensurate to what they do for their team. And so it's crazy to me that, like, oh, Spirit have been dog shit. Like, what do you want Donk to do? Like, there's an extra criteria, apparently, if Donk wanted to be number one, and that is he has to carry Zwei and Chopper to an unbelievable degree, something Ziwu doesn't have to do, and actually quite often, as we saw in the major final, if Ziwu goes missing, someone else on his team is capable of stepping up and taking the space. God bless King Messi. So I cannot even fathom, like, what we expect Donk to do to be number one here against Ziwu is, while playing in a worse team and being individually 26th in 28 of the metrics HLTV uses to decide who is the best player, he can't be it because he didn't win MVPs. And he can't be it because he didn't play in more playoff games because of his dog shit teammates. So that seems to me to be silly. But it doesn't really matter all that much because we've got bigger foundational problems with how we measure people's metrics anyway in Counter-Strike. As I said, put it this way, the last major that's just gone, Donk probably should have been the MVP for that. But he can't be because he didn't play in the final. So, fuck you. Doesn't matter that even though he didn't play in the final, look where his rating was. Look at the games that he won single-handedly. Doesn't matter. It's not the final. Only MVPs only play in finals, and 90% of the time they win. Very occasionally we will give a loser an MVP award. That's just crazy to me. So you've got that problem. If you're ever going to use MVPs as a metric by which to judge who's the best player, well, it's a flawed system to begin with. So there was that. Also, I'll say, right, nigh inseparable in playoffs, but Donk still ahead. And it seems crazy to use the argument, and Ziwu got 8 trophies, because if we can use the argument Ziwu playing on a better team had worse playoff numbers, then why can't we use the argument Donk playing on an objectively worse team had better playoff numbers? Because the inverse is true. So for me, Donk was just the number one player in the world. I don't know how the HLTV panel arrived at, you know, I don't know how the HLTV panel like arrived at this. Even though they've tried to explain it, I don't think that rationale is particularly strong. And I think just eye test wise, I think Donk plays a harder position. Typically plays with a rifle, gets these numbers while entrying. I don't think there's any question about who the best player in the world is for 2025. And it's fine. Ziwoo can have it. You know, it's not a bad choice. It was definitely one of those two. But for me, it was definitely Donk. And I think ultimately, I think what ended up happening was probably the panel got caught doing rings, doing the intellectual donut of, yeah, but Donk didn't win enough, and Donk didn't play in playoffs, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and all of this stuff. And it's like, doesn't matter. The clue is in the title. Player of the year. Not fucking player that was able to take his team, trophies. Da-da-da-da-da. So, I've got to say, I was pretty surprised. I won't say disappointed, because here's the thing. I don't care. If Donk wins, all the shit-annoying French fanboys get mugged off. And if Donk loses, I mean, just fuck Team Spirit and that collection of cringe lords over there. And I have to say, I mean, look, the build-up to who was going to be number one was insufferable enough. The reaction when it was finally announced. I mean, just look at this thread, by the way. This is 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. What kind of delusional fan has to write something like this? So everybody's been talking about who's better. Ziwoo Donk, Ziwoo Donk, Ziwoo Donk, Ziwoo Donk. And so, hang on. Right? Has Ziwoo ever cracked under pressure? There were so many zero upvoted delusional fucking threads being made on Reddit talking about these two players. Has Ziwoo ever cracked under pressure? A guy, by the way, that notoriously people used to criticize him for not doing better in the playoffs. And look, here he is. Amongst all-star players, I couldn't recall a time when Ziwoo went into hothead mode or lost his temper, throwing tantrums or smashing a desk, mouse, monitor. None of that. All I remember is he's extra quiet and reserved when he's underperforming. We shouldn't overlook such a trait when talking about Ziwoo. There you go, HLTV. Why didn't you fucking factor that in? You should have put that down as the reason why he won, and everything would have been fine. Yeah, but he's the humble goat, though. Shit, you've got me. Humble goat wins again. Right? Question is, any other star players share the same level of temperament? Device is the closest. Yeah, Device has never punched a monitor in 4 fucking K, has he? Moron. But I still remember him. Oh, so you do remember it. Rather gently, though. What the fuck is this threat? So anyway, everybody was jumping in this thread, like, in server, not really. It never seems like he's shaky or scared. Someone's just typed the word gay, which is fair. All things considered, it's coming back. We're bringing it back. W Rage Bait. So, yeah. Has Ziwoo ever cracked under pressure? It literally took him 5 years to be the top 10 team in the major playoffs. Which, you know, probably throwing on a burner there. Why is that relevant? Well, because obviously everybody saw the video of Donk. And Donk, there was this thing where Shiro said, I love this game. And Donk said, I don't, you know, can we please focus, like, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, That was such a bone of contention. Right? Look at this. In the summary, for Shiro, who was fifth, right? He's got better, but he still plays like a pussy. But his stats are good, and he's definitely the wingman for Donk on that fucking lineup, that's for sure. But look what they had to do. Hang on. They had to write about the clip. Because Reddit just banged on it so much. And it said here, look, the two teams battled in the triple overtime, right? A clip where Shiro said he liked the game and Donk replied saying he didn't, followed by asking the team to focus, aired during the map. But the timing is something Shiro wanted to clear up when asked about those frustrations. At that moment, a lot of hate came my way, he says. I didn't want to react to it, but I believe the situation still needs to be clarified. My phrase was said several rounds before it was shown to the viewers. I said it right after a clutch by our captain to hype up the team. I hope now many people can look at this situation differently and reconsider it. And you know what? You know what's crazy in this? And I'll say it. I don't give a fuck. Don't give a fuck about any of this. Right. Shiro saying, I like this game after somebody clutches. That seems fine to me. Immediately, your star player going, I fucking don't. We're playing shit right now. We're going to lose. Get your fucking finger out your ass, you mad cunt. If Simple had done that, the hate wouldn't have gone to Shiro. The hate would have been going to Simple. The threads would have been about Simple. The threads would have been about how Simple's toxic. What a terrible teammate. Do you know how I know it? No, because they did that to him repeatedly over the course of his career, right? When Donk does it, it's fine. And I'm going to say something that you're all not going to like. Donk, you, right, Reddit goes, okay, I'll go big head for this, right? Because, like, he's a grown-up now. I let him have it when he was 17, that's fine. You're a kid, right? Turn 18, you're a man in a man's sport now, right? So, get this. Everyone talks about how he's aura farming, right? Everybody loved it. It was the most watched film since the Zapruder film when fucking Donk walked past Falcons after eliminating them. And they're going, oh my God, look at his aura. Look how he's mugging them. He's mugging them. He's mugging them. Look how he's lifting his hoodie up. He's mugging them. Right. A few facts about that video, right? So, first of all, he was just lost. He wasn't walking past them deliberately. He just got lost. He didn't know how to get from one side to the other without going across the camera. So that was that. There was also everyone, oh, and the way he flicked his hoodie up. Yeah, his hoodie was trapped under, like, a strap. And he was, like, awkwardly pulling at it, right? Which is negative aura for me if you can't even get a hoodie up in one flick, right? We all know that. And then he couldn't look any of them in the eye after just eliminating them. And everyone's going, wow, aura, look at the aura, look at the aura. My God, he's mugging them. Like, so fucking embarrassing, right? Anyway, he said, Donk, our Lord and Saviour, he said during the awards, after getting second and Ziwu being number one, he said, fucking, oh, yeah, he deserves it. That's what he said, right? He did say that. We all watched the awards. I watched them. I sent an email in for the rights to co-stream and they didn't reply. I debased myself for UHL TV, right? So you heard him say that. But what did he do when the awards were over? Let's get his post. Oh, where is it? Hang on, this will be the one. Got it. This should be it. So, he says Siwoo deserves it, right? Fair enough, he's been a good sport. Love that. Come on. Reddit's being dog shit today. And because Imgur is banned in the UK, I don't even know if I can... Can we just do that? All right, okay. And then he goes on to his Telegram and posts this. And he goes, 26 out of 28, number two. Big, warm, rosy cheek, smiley face, as if it's ridiculous. And it's like... Guys, that's not what someone with... You know, that's not Giga Chad behaviour. That's not what someone with an aura would do. What they would do is they would go, actually, I should have been number one. I got 26 out of 28. You would have said it at the awards and you would have gone, happy for Siwoo, but it's bullshit. See ya. I'm off. Flick your hoodie up first time and you leave. That's what you do. Then after this, he said his next post was, it doesn't matter, I believe this year will be ours. Yeah. Magic's the tactical genius is going to carry you to all these tournament wins. So, I'm actually on... Donk's side, like, he's definitely right. He should have been number one. But, fucking hell. The fans' discussion around it is more insufferable than anything ever. And people are still posting about this Siwoo versus Donk thing. It's so crazy. There was people discussing the HLTV rationale in a thread. And you can see the reasoning was so predictable. The biggest matches and the biggest arenas where the pressure was at its highest, the criteria was always in plain sight. This is what Donk fans don't understand. Siwoo played more playoff maps and had deeper runs. That's more impressive than dropping a 1.34 rating but bombing out at quarterfinals. Someone points out Messi literally carried Siwoo at the major final. And then someone goes, but you have to get to those finals. Cool. Then somebody pointed this out. Siwoo was ranked number three. The lawyers were out. He was ranked number three when he was number one or two in most of his statistical categories. So checkmate, atheists. This is why he deserves to be number one now. And then somebody linked to poor old Nero. And he was like, one last thing on number two. It's not just the arenas. And, of course, use Munnacy as an example. Siwoo set an unbeatable record that will life forever, guys. Did you consider this? Almost no one noticed yesterday, but it seems like Siwoo set a record yesterday. It was yesterday, guys, that no one will ever match, officially becoming the top one player in CSGO and the top one player in CS2, two different versions of the game. Like, we need to be real. Simple not going to be N1 in CS2 in Donk era. You could say GetRight is best player in both versions, but it never showed officially. HLTV rankings not existed back then. They did. Donk will surpass Ziwu in top ones and MVP. It's inevitable, but that singular achievement that no one has will stay forever. Case closed. Ziwu's the GOAT. You know my opinion on this? Another thing I hate. Let's just not compare CSGO to CS2. Let's just stop doing that. Let's stop talking about CSGO history now, officially, in 2026. No reason to bring it up. Got plenty of stuff to talk about just from the CS2 era. No need to talk about what people did in CSGO, in my opinion. Somebody did this. Great stuff. Love this one. Donk and Ziwu. Yes, one more post. All right. What have you got for me, Mr. Gustavo Fring? People always just look at the stats and say that Donk should be number one instead of Ziwu. I mean, that is the premise of the ranking. But this is the Player of the Year award. Not the most mechanical or most skilled player or highest rated player of the year. All right. What do you got for me? What have you been cooking in the kitchen, sir? Is Donk more skilled than Ziwu? Yes. I think Donk is the most skilled player in the history of CS. Is Donk better than Ziwu this year? Yes. He's statistically better, and I also think he performed better individually. But... Does he deserve number one more than Ziwu? I don't think so. The Player of the Year award should focus on a player who performs at an extremely high competitive level, not only achieving insane individual stats and ratings, but also leading their team to victory. Ziwu has both. Ziwu's two major MVPs and eight MVPs in total, leading Vitality to win 8 trophies this year, are undeniable. No one deserves the Player of the Year award more than him. Is this similar to the Simple versus Device debate in 2018? Not really. In 2018, Simple had kind of same number of MVPs as Device, and the importance of those MVPs was almost identical, with very little difference. That's why stats were used to determine who's number one. This year, we don't need to use stats. Convenient, given the 26 out of 28 that Donk achieved. Ziwu has 3 Elite Event MVPs, won both major MVPs in the year, double Donk's total MVPs, and also one of Donk's MVPs is considered minor because it was PGL Astana, where many top teams didn't attend. Overall, Ziwu is the player, no doubt, and he deserves it more than anyone else. Someone just waiting here. It always amazes me how much Ziwu gets hated on by this community. It's hate now. It's hate to discuss whether or not he's number one. Pure hate. Hashtag stop Ziwu hate. First it was the Simple fans. Now it is the Donk fans. Last year, none of them was crying when Ziwu didn't win number two over Munisi. Of course, this year we are talking about number one, but I'm just throwing it out there for comparison. Now, when HLTV brings really good evidence for Ziwu being number one, all I read from these forums is 26-28. And oh, I guess this means it isn't Player of the Year award, but Team Player of the Year award. Give the man some credit. Won't somebody give Ziwu credit? Donk had an amazing year, and no matter which one of these players would have won, would have been acceptable. I hope both of them have a great year, and they keep on fighting for that number one spot for many years to come. We all benefit from seeing mind-blowing CS from these guys. Let's just enjoy it. Love this one. Semantic nightmare. It's the great versus best debate. Donk was the best player this year. Ziwu was not better, but greater. And, of course, there were essays the other way. Primary Wallaby here. I have been seeing a lot of hype around Ziwu being called the number one player in the scene. And honestly, I think it is completely overblown. Do not get me wrong. He is extremely talented and has shown flashes of brilliance throughout his career. But talent alone does not make someone the best. When you actually watch his recent games, it becomes very clear he is often being carried by his team rather than consistently carrying himself. There are multiple matches where he is quiet in key rounds or fails to make the impact plays that truly change the momentum of a game. Meanwhile, his teammates are the ones stepping up, clutching rounds and keeping the team in contention. A top player should be someone who consistently influences the outcome of games and whose presence alone makes a team stronger in every critical moment. That's not what I'm seeing from Ziwu right now. Even in his world, though, Ziwu is the number two player in the world. Ziwu doesn't do these things, apparently. Another thing is that the narrative around Ziwu has been built up so much over the years that it seems people are almost afraid to criticize him. Any discussion that questions his number one status gets dismissed immediately as fanboy hate or jealousy, and this is not about personal bias, it is but about actually looking at performances and seeing who is the driving force behind the team's wins. Right now, it is not Ziwu. 8 MVPs. 2 MVPs. Which, we do them wrong, but still. I'm pretty sure 5 of those I couldn't argue with. There are other players who consistently make the big plays, consistently clutch rounds, and consistently put their team in a position to win when it matters most. Those are the players who deserve the top spot. I am curious if other people feel the same way. Is this just me noticing? He's noticing the obvious, or are we all caught up in hype and name recognition? Ziwu is an incredible player, but at this moment, calling him number one does not feel justified. I think it's time for people to take a step back and evaluate based on impact and consistency rather than reputation and past accomplishment. It's over, bro. He's number one. This was like posted this evening. So, Reddit having a perfectly normal one over the awards. And as I said, look, even though I disagree with who got number one in the players list, based on my own subjective opinion, I want to say HLTV did a great job once again generating interest in their list and who was going to get number one. And they do make it feel like it's a prestigious thing. Whereas back in my day, everybody did one of these lists. I did one, Thorin did one, everybody did one. And being the number one player in the world, it kind of felt a bit more diluted. Nobody went to a big awards ceremony. No one got a little trophy that they can put in their memorabilia pile for years to come. So, listen, it wasn't Ziwu for me. But I think they did a great job with their list, and it's great that it's generated so much debate, even if a lot of that debate is the stupid musings of fanboy teenagers that I shouldn't have to read as an adult. Anyway, now we can look at the rest of the HLTV awards, right? Because they don't just do the awards for players. They have Community Awards. And there's bad news about the Community Awards, guys. The Community Awards are voted for by the community. So, in other words, they're complete bullshit, as we'll get to. I was kind of perplexed. I was watching it, and I don't know who the host is, but, man, I felt sorry for that guy. Because, I don't know, people just didn't seem to read the room and, like, can't do a bit of fake applause, at least, for the Community Awards. People didn't seem to want to do that. And he was really struggling with it. Anyway, we had Talent of the Year. And Rounder Banks in the chat, James got Talent of the Year again. Now, congratulations to James, someone I've known a long, long time. Hung in the pocket in esports. Been killing it the last few years. Obviously, commiserations to Sponge. But it's probably Freya this year for my money. Don't think that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. Don't think that would hurt Banks' feelings. Don't think that would hurt Chat's feelings. I don't know if... this is going to be controversial. Based on what I saw during the awards, I don't know if if a chick can win these awards. These types of awards, ones that go over to the general public. You know, for instance, when they were handing out awards for the female teams, they had to turn Twitch chat off and put it in emote-only mode. And all that was being spammed was fucking Resident Sleeper or Lull or, you know, whatever it was. And prior to it going into emote only, it was like, you know, kitchen.cs and, you know, bzz, get off the stage, boo. And it made me fucking, not even sad, just like, it's just angry a little bit almost. Because it was like Sapphire was on the stage and it's like, you do realize Sapphire wasn't just a legendary women's player in the sport. She was also a pioneering observer, still does observer work to this day. Been involved with a bunch of like charities and good causes. And it's like, if you can't show respect to somebody that's contributed like that to our community based on their gender, then what are we doing? Like, this is another reason why, like, I have felt a palpable change in the community. I genuinely mean this. We never used to whine this much in CS. We never used to be as big assholes in the game. It was never this bad. Like, you fire up a game now. Like, I have had, you know, I've been playing a little bit again recently. And it's just nonstop racial abuse. It's insane. You know, if you talk with a British accent, you're going to get called the N-word by some guy from the Balkans. That's just how that goes. It never used to be this bad. The whining about the game never used to be this bad. We just used to fix our problems. And ultimately, I've always been someone that has said the esports community is unfairly maligned. We're very welcoming. We're very, you know, we don't care about any of that identity bullshit. We just care. If you're passionate about the game, you're welcome. That's what's always been in esports for me. But I watched the HLTV Awards last night, and I think HLTV were probably disappointed with the community as well, because you shouldn't have to go into a emote-only mode every time a woman is picking up a trophy. Like, we all got to be better than that. I don't want to sound like some mewling quim social justice warrior, because that's not who I am. But, like, there's a problem right now in the CS community. I genuinely feel that way. I think we've really got a bunch of fucking brain-dead losers. I don't know what is happening with the vibe shit. But there has been a vibe shift, and it's like it's cringe. It's actually cringe right now, like what passes for the average Counter-Strike player slash fan. On that basis, as I said, I don't know if like 22% of the vote. I mean, I think Freya is like an elite level host, but like she doesn't just host. You know, think about me, right? I'm just a host. That's all I do. I turn up and I host. I don't do anything else. Freya does interviews, she makes shoulder content, she's in the ESL skits, she works all the major events, I thought this was arguably Freya's best year, and it's not to take away from Banks. Remember, as I said at the start of the stream, people are going to have their own opinions about awards, but when you throw community awards out there, unfortunately, I just think there's going to be certain barriers. And I've experienced this myself. I'll talk about way back in the day, and again, I'm not bitter or upset about this. It sounds like something who was bitter and upset about it would say, but it was just an observable phenomenon. I went out, and it was one of my first ever esports features that I did. And what it was I was trying to collate all of the attitudes that drove the way people played Counter-Strike. And I did it. I interviewed 50 or 60 Counter-Strike source players. I'm loath to call them professionals because this was back in like 2005. But anyway, I interviewed lots of them and then I published three chapters. They were about 4,000 to 6,000 words each. And it was essentially explaining, why do certain nationalities not like each other or want to play with each other? Why do certain attitudes like prevail about the ways to play the game? Why are some teams more aggressive and want to push more? Why do some want to play more passive? Why are some more focused on utility? Why are not, right? So it was like really about trying to get an understanding of what was going on in the average Counter-Strike source team. And as I said, it probably came out somewhere. It was 10,000 words. It was easily the length of a dissertation. And I got nominated for what were then, I believe, the Turtle Entertainment / ESL Awards. And so I was like, holy shit. And I was at Source Junkie at the time. It was a Counter-Strike Source blog. And they said, like, holy shit, we've been nominated for a big award because of your work. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I was only like 1 foot in back then. And anyway, it was a community award, article of the year. And the vote gave it to an article called Spawn, about the 1.6 player, Spawn, pro gamer or pro rapper. And it was about 700 words. And basically, a guy had heard that Spawn had one time in a home studio recorded a rap song. And it had a quote from Spawn saying, hey, if I ever quit Counter-Strike, I might become a rapper. And that was the article. And it won. Because it had Spawn in the title. And it was about 1.6. And I was like, Oh, yeah, community awards suck. So they're not always a meritocracy, is all I'm saying. And for me, I think, Freya's long overdue getting the recognition she deserves, particularly in awards and just in general across all of esports. Obviously, we all know and recognize her contribution, but it would have been nice for her to pick up an award. But I think obviously people are up against it when going up against the fucking Banks powerhouse, It's just one of those. Then, more egregious in many ways. Holy shit, recency bias. This is one of the craziest community awards I've ever seen given out. Like, yeah, this is worse than Duncan versus Ziwu. This is so perplexing to me. Let me get the reaction, actually, because that was pretty fucking funny. But so, as you can see, StarLadder won with 37% of the votes. I just don't even get it, man. Like, it's probably Austin, right? But there were events that weren't even on this list that were better than Budapest. Not to fucking go too deep into the weeds with it, But, you know, PGL not having an event on there. PGL Astana was a better event than Budapest in terms of production and scale and moments. It just got fucked again by the politics of these stupid teams wanting to stick it to PGL because Daddy ESL / EWC is telling them to do that. And so that is crazy. Crazy. And yeah, Austin probably should have had it. I wouldn't have hated if Cologne got it either, actually. This is stop the count bullshit. And this is how you know it's legit, because the reaction from Starladder themselves, I mean, apart from the fact that when the guy got up to get the award, he looked fucking confused. He was like, what is happening, right? You also had this, which is his reaction to the award. And he said, I don't know who voted for this and why, but thank you to everyone involved in the entire Starladder team from Ukraine who worked like hell despite shelling, blackouts, closed borders, insane pressure from all sides and unreal stress. This award is first and foremost for you, colleagues. And it's like, okay, cool, you overcame a bunch of problems to run an event that was bad for its first week, going up to mediocre, then was bailed out in the playoffs because you got 7 of the top 8 teams in the world competing there and a phase storyline that really elevated the whole tournament. It still was like a BB minus event. Event of the year is crazy. So that was a shocker. I mean, I'm a just petition. Based on these top two, maybe just stop community awards. I know it's like, yo, you get the votes and you get the engagement. But let me let you in on a little secret, right? I'll tell you this. Might get in trouble, right? But I don't care. So, back when I used to do the eSports Awards panel, you can see my awards up there. I used to be not just a panelist there, but I was also on the committee that essentially created the rubric for how we, voted on awards and stuff. And anyway, on the first one, I think the community awards were purely voted by the community. And we quickly realized popularity contests are retarded. They just are. I mean, if you need an example of that, just look at American Democracy, right? There you go. Or rather, what American Democracy has become. So what they decided to do was they said, right, the panel will get to a vote each, and then the community vote is one vote in the panel. So you vote for who wins, and the community is one guy round the table. You have to start doing it like that, HLTV, and it will stop nonsense like this, and you will still get the engagement, and people will still be doing it. That's the way it has to go, because this is crazy. This is fucking beyond crazy, these two awards here. Then, I mean, listen, Streamer of the Year, was it in doubt that my boy Owner Pixel was going to get there? I mean, it just goes without saying he is the biggest CS streamer. I don't hate it. I think Flom's in with a good shout for next year because he's just run a very successful LAN at the same time. Hopefully people will remember January by that. This one, I didn't really have a dog in the fight. I don't really consume a lot of CS content, because it's either usually a guy rehashing a headline over gameplay, or it's a guy posting highlights of people doing stupid stuff in their games and whatever. So, and I got to say as well, I think all the CSGO rewinds and all that, I think they've got lazier and lazier and sloppier, and I've got progressively worse with each year, because again, there's just a circle jerk around them and people waiting for them. I don't think they're that good anymore. I think the first one really was a labor of love, and then it's kind of got progressively just, here's some highlights from the ESL tournaments. So, just saying. You know, not for me. By the way, if you can hear all the sirens, this is what it's like living in Birmingham. It once it gets of an evening, it's just, this is just it. But anyway, yeah, whatever. Skin of the year, obviously super important to me. Yeah. The AWP print stream. So, cool, I guess. Which skin was robbed? Let's have a look. Out of those three, I probably like the Glock best. So, don't know, but I could be wrong about that, whatever. Anyway, those were the community awards. Let's stop giving the community power in any way, shape, or form in anything as it relates to awards at the end of the year. They can't be trusted. Let's just put a stop to that. Then let's go to the other ones, because there were some team awards here. Let me just see. Obviously, we've talked about that. That's cool. Women's Player of the Year. Obviously, haven't been watching a lot of Women's Counter-Strike. I'm not going to pretend that I do. Would be happy to support it if ever there was an opportunity to do so. But I have a lot of time in a lot of time doing other things, and not enough time in the day to justify sitting down and watching an entire sport that runs in alignment parallel to Counter-Strike. I just can't do it. But based on what I know, this is a good award. She also had a bit of a tumble, I believe, which I liked. First tumble, an endearing slip and trip at an award show. Excellent. The Women's Team of the Year. Well, I mean, look, Team of the Year, Vitality, of course. Goes without saying. Women's Team of the Year. Big Equipper. Yep. Fair enough. Rookie of the Year. I loved Molodoy's drip. Did love Molodoy's drip. You got to fucking go with it. It's not like that Hassan Abi drip where he's just dressed like Chairman Mao all the time now for some reason. This was fucking fire. So, and he gave a good speech. Oh, Edward fucking didn't read the assignment, did he? These ex-Na'Vi players, man, you can't fucking, they can't help themselves if there's a mic around or a social media platform around. Fucking hell. He went on and on and on and on and it, about the fucking segment that ran previous, which was paying tribute to Markelov. It's like, few words would have been fine. Like, oh, I had the pleasure of playing with Markelov. Definitely deserved Hall of Famer. He's sick, blah, blah, blah. He just kept going for fucking ages. Like, bro, just give up. It's over. It's over. Stop leaking things that aren't real. And like the rest of it, it's Starix. It's Senya. They're all here doing the same shit. Like, it's over, boys. 2010 was cool. It's 26 now. It's over. Stop talking, it's over. Anyway, you can't argue with this for Molodoy. I do want to just point this out. This is another little edgy thing. But he's only 17, so obviously we go easy on the teenagers that play the sport. But man, I would love to pick the brains of all the people that were talking about Kiyosuke, like non-stop. When he was in Spirit Academy talking about like, oh, whoever buys him is getting Donk 2.0 and he's going to power them to trophies and it's going to be crazy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, Kiyosuke left Spirit Academy, chose not to play for Spirit. Apparently could have had the option if he'd hung in the pocket. That's what people were saying behind the scenes, that he got pissed off about it. Went to Falcons to get the bag because he was going to be playing with Munisi, going to be playing with Nico, so he was loving that. He's gone there. They've won fuck all, right? He's won fuck all, and he couldn't even get Rookie of the Year, even though that was like felt like it was just his birthright in 2025, because Molodoy shit on him and won trophies. So, you know, it's not so much a dig at him. I got nothing against Kiyosuke, obviously, just a kid. But it's like, you know, I would love to talk to all of those fans that gaslit everyone into that this guy was going to be Donk 2.0. Like, where are they now, is what I'm kind of asking. Opener of the year, it could only be Donk. Closer of the year could really only be Rops, although I'm sure there's some Brazilian fans that are out there corral-hoeing to this day. Anchor of the year, definitely Mezzi. Orper of the year, definitely Ziwu. And IGL of the year, good to see Fallen get that silver medal and Blitz get thirds. This is great stuff. But yeah, Apex, it speaks for itself. And then there comes the contentious one, which is always going to be the contentious one, and that is Coach of the Year. Because ultimately, this award, and until we start assessing what coaches do in some sort of salient and coherent way, this award is ultimately going to be meaningless. And let me give you an example of what I mean. So, when this award was being touted on social media, and I don't usually weigh in on social media anymore, I just post my work, like, there's just no point. Everyone still says, have you seen him on social media, blocking people and arguing like a man? None of that's been true for about 5 years, but whatever. It's just Reddit talk. So, you can see here, the most impactful coaches, and it's the list that we had there. It was Halley, Extaz, and Mara. And probably a controversial opinion, but if we agree that all coaches actually contribute equally and their value is how much they get out of the pieces they have to work with, then the only conclusion is Mara should win. Now, what do I mean by that, right? Like, okay, we don't know what coaches do. Everyone says that. So let's assume all coaches do the same amount. Let's make it a constant. You know, C equals one, right? Let's do that. So the best coach is the one that achieves the most with the worst players. That's what I'm saying has to be the baseline premise for this award to work. And then ultimately, okay, Mara took Mongols to number one in the world. They actually achieved number one in the world, this small team from Mongolia. So it's him, right? Because he had worse pieces to work with. Whereas Extaz has vitality, generational talents across the board, one of the best teams ever assembled. So that's what I kind of thought about it. And then Maui pointed out here, Cyclone doesn't have any top 10 players and has a rookie IGL, reached semifinals or better in 90% of tournaments they participated in. Senzu is better than anyone on Mouse, and everyone seems to be voting Blitz as a top 3 IGL. Cyclone clears. And I agree. I would have put maybe Cyclone on there instead of Halley. This is going to be important for you to remember, right? I said agree, and that is a reply to Maui Snake. And then Apex came in, And because, you know, me and Dan are old friends. Like, I don't mind saying it. Like, Dan is one of those guys. We go back to the Source era together. He's one of the few people still in the scene from that time that I know. Dan was ubiquitous at every Source event. And, you know, he was good for a beer and a lot of fun. Great guy. Said here, then how much Xtas needs to win to get coach of the year? 16 out of 16 trophies, 85 best of threes in a row. And, you know, look, it's a good point. Like, what else would he need to achieve? And I replied with the following, saying, you know, hey, brother, congratulations on a great year. Hope you're enjoying your holidays. Absolutely, I'm not intending to take away from Xtaz's work nor your achievements. I think many regard your team as one of the greatest ever assembled in terms of talent, augmented by your continued development as an IGL and also having a tenured coach. With that comes an expectation of excellence. For Mongols, they have a number of handicaps and hurdles to clear that your team doesn't, and yet they manage to remain competitive at the highest level and even hit number one in the world ranking this year. As I've said, we can't ever really know how much a coach contributes as that stays behind the scenes. But if we assume all contributions are equal, there's an argument that Mara has achieved more relative to the players he had to work with. Of course, these awards mean little in the grand scheme of things. What really matters when we get to the end of our careers are trophies in the cabinet, and Xtaz will have plenty of those thanks to your collective efforts. Vitality has really come a long way since the days pundits called it Ziwu and Friends, and you can all feel immensely proud of 2025. Looking forward to seeing you guys in 2026 when the season starts up again. Happy New Year. Right? Now that is, you know, that's an exchange between old friends. And I understand Dan's frustrations, especially he wants his coach to get his flowers. And when he sees people like me implying he shouldn't get the flowers, he's going to chime in and stick up for his boy. So, never going to be mad at Dan. Now, this exchange incredibly found its way onto Reddit. It's crazy. And if you look, well, hang on. First, I'll show you the thread. And then I'll show you this. Richard Lewis and Apex on Coach of the Year. And I don't think anything about that exchange was contentious at all. But when you get down to some of the comments about halfway down the thread, right? Not all coaches are involved equally. Yeah, I know they're not. I was saying if we assume they are, because that's what we have to do to try and find some base level of what they do. I didn't say that. I don't know how they could see that. That was the point I was trying to make. Apparently it's a curse because Xtaz can't be the best coach because he has the best team playing for him. Apex can't be the best IGL because he plays with the best players. And Ziwu can't be the best player because he plays with the best help. Said no one. Then there was this. Bro's agreeing to himself. So because I said agree to Maui Snake, and this idiot doesn't know how Twitter works and that it doesn't index all the comments now, his assumption was I have a burner account on Twitter that I agree to my own tweets with the single word agree, and I forgot to log into that account to do that. That was the assumption. instant assumption. I hate Apex as much as everyone. No one hates Apex. He's a breath of fresh air in a scene that's rapidly stagnating when it comes to personalities. But he's completely dead on this one. There's a Curb Your Enthusiasm reference, of course. Because even after Richard Lewis is dead, we still have to say, I'm confused. I thought it was the other Richard Lewis, the dead one. You thought the dead one was tweeting about esports from fucking beyond the grave. Like, fair. You cannot see the impact the coach actually has on the team. You can speculate as much as you want. Yeah, that's why I made it a constant to arrive at the conclusion. Why is Richard Lewis responding, agree to himself? RL is normally very reasonable, but basing a conclusion about the best performing coach of the year, I didn't arrive at a conclusion, I said there was an argument, on the opinion that they all perform equally, is very misguided to me. Again, not what I'm saying. And there's more, but whatever. That is just the least contentious exchange I've ever seen. But then, like, you look at the posting history of this guy, and remember that word, rage bait? That's all this fucking dickhead posts. Halley on Maui Snake, pimp on his haters, Cadian exposes pro scene, Cassad on Hooksy's free agency, Richard Lewis on the endless discussion around cheating in CS. And that's when I reckon, that's when I remembered I'd seen this guy's fucking name. This is the guy who, any time I say anything about cheating, he takes the paragraph out of context and puts it on Reddit. Doesn't post the full article. Takes a screenshot, posts it out of context, and then just engages. And as I said, if you remember this one, which I did a video about at the start of the year, Oh, and by the way, Carsten, in the chat, you are correct. I've been trying to prove to Instagram I'm not dead, but they've put my account for Richard Lewis, me, because it had the verified badge, they've made me dead as if I was the other Richard Lewis, and I'm locked out of my Instagram account because I'm dead and it's gone into memorial mode. So I can't post on it. You're like, oh, why don't you have an Insta? I'm dead. Oh, there you go. Fuck me, I'm dead. Anyway, this guy loves a fucking out-of-context post. And do you want to know how I know? Because I'm doing the Gonzo Awards right now. Everyone's doing their awards, right? I do, in case you knew, I do something called the Gonzo Awards every year. And it's where I give alternate awards, because awards are all like just dick-sucking, you know, people breaking their arm, patting themselves on the back. Everyone does those posts as well. Here are all the things I achieved in this year. I'm so great. So, obviously, it's insufferable in fucking esports, right? And I basically have been doing for years the alternate awards that say, what was shit in esports this year? What was the worst event? What was the worst thing? And so I do this, and I give an award out for the most irritating fanboys. Right? The most irritating fanboys. You can see here past winners. The French started strong when the award started back in 2010. Then it was 1.6 fans, because in 2012, with CSGO looming, they became insufferable as well. Oh, and then Dota 2 fans. My, oh my. Aren't they entitled babies? Think that was the year of the fucking Diatide fiasco. Then 2014 TSM fans. Then it was just all of League fans. Then it was Brazilian CS fans in 2016. Then we had a hiatus. I was on television for a few years. And then I brought them back when I started my Substack. I was like, okay, I'm free to speak my mind again. And 2024, I gave it to the CS2 community, and they've gone back to back. They've gone back to back. And in there, I wrote one paragraph about cheating. Here's the average CS player trying to explain Subtick. Right? This is the average CS player trying to explain Subtick to someone. Right? AKA AI slop, but I use AI slop because I'm not talented. So you'll just have to accept the AI slop. And this is the paragraph he posted. It'd be remiss of me to leave out the constant paranoia about cheaters. We're still doing the whole VAC isn't real thing, only to complain even further whenever a new update brings the occasional false positive ban. It was just 3 months ago that an update wiped out a number of popular free cheats, and forums were gleefully posting the tears of all those affected. Today, VAC isn't real. Valve doesn't care. Everyone's cheating. Honestly, why not just fuck off and do something else then? If you believe that, right? So that's it. That's the only time I bring up cheating. That was the paragraph that got posted out of context from the wider article, which just says, you all whine too much and you're all fucking stupid and you don't understand what you're complaining about half the time because you don't understand Subtick isn't a number. Let's start there. Let's start with people thinking Subtick is a fucking number. It's not a number. They go, oh, let's replace Subtick. Right? And by the way, just to prove my fucking point, I think on the day I published that article, there was a thread literally saying Subtick should be banned and replaced with 128 tick, as if there's a scale. But anyway, that's what he posted out of context. And immediately it got up to like 73 comments while simultaneously being downvoted. Right? And it's just insane. It's just, again, it's just gaslighting. Another shit take. The take this time, by the way, doesn't say how many people are cheating. It just says, Valve are updating VAC. You pretend they aren't. If you think everyone's cheating and you hate the game because of that, do something else. That's it. That's all it says. Right? Another shit take from RL. Isn't this the clown who was saying how there are no cheaters? And then I don't even know. Anyway. But never said that either. And never played Premier. I love when he ruins great journalism with these random shitposts. I am a shitposter now, guys. There's no point in doing great journalism. You don't read it. You don't post it. Mods don't let it on the fucking subreddit half the time these days for reasons I don't understand. It's also evident he never plays the game. What in that paragraph has to do with me playing the game? He made this argument about cheating quite a while ago. There's no argument about cheating in there. Just because some free cheats got banned, it isn't equal to all cheats getting banned. Cool, didn't say that either. Though his final remark, I understand, but on the other hand, what are the gamers like CS? None, so shut the fuck up then. Richard Lewis is indicating some free cheats being banned is the Holy Grail. Didn't. He doesn't even play CS2. At this point, he's not even trying with his gaslighting. He's just there to post slop to be spotted online. Richard Lewis, just fuck off. I mean, this is not very nice on my birthday, is it? No brotherly love at the start of 2026 for Richard Lewis. Just a rage bait. We're back to that. It's a rage bait. He's been going on for years and years about how Valve will do something about the rampant cheating. Literally didn't say that either. And yet pretty much nothing has changed. The guy doesn't even really play the game. Irrelevant. He unironically does not play the game. I ironically play it. And believes in tinfoil hat conspiracies. I'm the conspiracy theorist. He went down a lot of weird rabbit holes just letting me yap at the clouds. Why would we listen to a guy who doesn't play CS? He's really, really, really low elo. Of course he doesn't know how it is to face cheaters all the time. Oh, you mean there's a small percentage at the top of the rankings? Gee. Wow. Boy, who could have figured it? He is brain dead on this topic. Plenty of pros have complained about this. Ah, pros who play at the top of the leaderboards, yeah. Okay. Two biggest losers in CS scene. Here's the Thorin reference, of course. This guy and another one, Thorin, both washed middle-aged, obsolete bums chasing for clout. By the way, see you on the PGL tour, which you will be watching from my obsolescence. Hope you're going to enjoy Collusion of Poker. Such a dumb take. Off topic, but I think this guy blocked me on Twitter. I mean, we've completed the fucking bingo card again, guys. For saying that the armory feature in CS2 isn't the same as an operation. Why would I think that? I don't even know. Can he at least play 100 Premier games in one season? Why would I mean, I've got things to do, bro. Like, you do it. You play him. Has he heard of Valorant? No, definitely not. And what's crazy is, as well, before it got locked, look, I've got an ally on the mod team. Why won't you stop them not allowing my work? Look, this comments section has more strawmen than in my farm in Stardew Valley. I agree, Zypher Gaming. Help me get my work on the subreddit and stop these morons from misrepresenting, please. Be a good moderator. Ban a few people. Ban this guy. Ban them for fucking posting out-of-context rage bait quotes over and over again. At least give it a think. So that was Coach of the Year. And then we had All-Star Team of the Year, right? Which... I do want to say, you know how there was this, like, narrative about how, like, oh, everyone's team, like, drops guns for Donk, so he's set up for success. I mean, for fuck's sake, guys. Like, can we just put the narrative to bed about who has the harder job? Actually crazy. And then... I don't know what happened there. My soundboard, my mixer just died, sorry, temporarily. So, yeah, I was muted for that. So anyway, the point was, because Griff can edit it in post, because that's what he does, right? Somebody said, best acceptance speech so far. And then somebody said, no, it was Richard putting the mainstream media on blast. What a mad reference. And then one of my number one fans here, this community was never, it's not now, and will ever be good enough to deserve RL. Still can't believe we traded people who gave a shit for Saudi money. Fuck esports. And then look, nah, RL did it to himself. I did it to myself, guys, whatever I did. Egomaniac who uses the Saudi money bad to cover up the fact people don't want to work with him. Guy also attacked the player at LAN, then doubled down online when he got fired for it. Guy's a loser, and I'm glad we pushed him and Thorin out. Pushed me out so much. I worked two circuits all last year. I did Dota and CS. Do the bingo card. I love it when people decide to be selectively blind, this person not being selectively blind, to the bullshit people do just because they have good takes here and there. Glad someone else mentioned it so I don't have to, but the fact this even got upvotes is disappointing. How quickly people forget. Fuck RL. Forget what? Oh, and yeah, it's just sometimes he has good takes. He's one of those miserable fucks that drops straight rage-baity opinion pieces on whatever's popular just to be a contrarian and get interactions. Feed got peaceful immediately the moment I started muting RL and Thorin and the likes. Esports doesn't need that kind of bullshit. It was all rage bait, my genuine opinions. Look at this. Low key though, Donk has the best speeches. Why not make a speech of the year award? If Cadian said that, if Simple said that, they would be saying he was a terrible person. They just play favourites all of the time. And so, that, my friends, was the HLTV Awards. Overall, I think they did a pretty good job. I also want to give a special shout out right at the end to just the production value they put on the awards. I thought the Harry and Hugo voiceovers were for each award, the little cartoons they did, was fucking excellent. And I thought Harry and Hugo did a fantastic job, as you would expect. I think in general, there was the right level of glitz. Stage setup was very impressive this time around. I think that having the guys on the couch, expertly steered by Chad and everybody else. And by the way, when Twists turned up, I thought he gave a lot of insight. Munacy was hilarious, looked like he'd sunk a few. So good for him. The super annoying thing, of course, is, right, every time somebody like has a drink in their hand or has clearly had a drink that evening, Twitch chat spamming, they're drunk, they're wasted. It's like, guys, for fuck's sake, like, what is going on? So the worst thing about the fucking the awards were the community, as per usual, this childish melange of just fucking idiots and imbeciles and losers that just seem determined to ruin anything and everything that we've got in CS if it doesn't conform to what they think it should be. We actually are infested with fans that, if given a choice between having it their way or having nothing, they would rather have nothing. If they can't have it their way, they would rather have nothing at all. And it's just ridiculous to kind of, you know, see that manifest. I love that. Do love that question. Are you Jewish, Richard? Always a delight whenever someone with a YouTube symbol next to their name asks me that question. But yeah, it was pretty disappointing from that point of view, but just wasn't, you know, everything else. All the HLTV guys, they did an excellent job. I thought it was a great event. And the awards, by and large, agree with them. And ultimately, a few tweaks, and maybe we can get even better, air quotes, awards moving forward. But I think all of the sound and the fury over the awards was super pathetic. Like, just who cares? Like, at the end of the day, you know, Donk, Ziwu, whatever. At the end of the day, you know, community awards are going to community awards. So, yeah, how was that? I thought it was all right. You mean to say I look like your rabbi? I don't think so. I definitely don't have Ashkenazi Jew heritage, I can tell you. But fair enough. If you need to, for whatever reason, put that in your brain, you do that. Right. Short one today, guys. I'm back tomorrow. We're going to do Rostermania. We're going to do the Rostermania because what's starting tomorrow is Blast Bounty. We've got the first event of 2026 coming right out the gate. Very surprised to see that it's a bit of a skeleton crew this time around. There seems to be just a handful of people working it. I think forecasters, two analysts, two hosts. And ultimately, we always do a Rostermania. It's kind of been a bit of a disappointing one. It's a bit like, not really a lot been going on. There's definitely been some big things that are going to impact on the season. We already alluded to one of them with the Spirit roster changes and what have you. So we'll do the big Rostermania breakdown tomorrow. And we'll probably do the Patreon Q&A tomorrow after that as well, which should bring me out to a nice round 4-hour stream, which of course will be on all of the platforms as per. Anyway, thanks to everybody that donated and subscribed and followed and pressed buttons. Thanks to NordVPN for sponsoring the stream, as always. Go to nordvpn.com/RLS if you want to get your community discount on it. And thanks for just being here and listening to what I have to say. Much love to all of you. I'll see you tomorrow. Be approximately the same time, around about 7 p.m.